Oh, yes. This is the Hardcore Marketing Show. I'm Casey Cheshire, your host for this epic journey. Today's show is sponsored by Ringmaster on a mission to launch B2B podcasts that create relationships, generate revenue, and drive growth. Ringmasterlive.com. Bam. Oh, yeah. I hit the button. This adventure is launching right now.
All
right. I'm excited. My guest today, absolute badass. And I've been trying to get him on the phone. He's a busy guy. And we were just chatting about how quickly the year is flying by. And man, I'm so excited to introduce you all to him today. Again, super badass, a marketing leader, thought leader, expertise. He's got background in product and marketing, entrepreneurship, all these different things, but also community. And he's got decades of experience helping tech companies bring those people together, right? Through events, training, community, groups, you name it. And we're going to talk about a lot of that today. We're going to open up his brain, that vault. We're going to get all the goodies out of it so we can do this for our own communities and create and foster those. Leading community and ecosystem at Glide, Andy Claremont, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad we were able to pull this together.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can wait till next year. We'll put, you know, AKA blink, and then it'll be 2028, right?
Oh, Lord. Don't even float that.
By the time we finish this podcast, it'll be next year. No. Okay. So I gotta get this. I'm going to pass you this thing. It's heavy though. Here it is. You got this?
I got it.
Ugh. Oh, okay. Here you go. I'm gonna grab
that. I got it. Right here.
Guys, if you're not watching a video, Andy just backhand grabbed Thor's hammer like a boss. Okay, Andy, take Thor's hammer and smash for me some kind of marketing myth. Oh, Thor's hammer. Take it easy. Some kind of marketing myth, bogus strategy, misconception. Set the record straight once and for all.
All right. Me and Mighty Mjolnir here, we're going to smash this. The misconception that your audience is your community. Your audience is not your community. It can become a community, but they are two different things. So let's smash that right now. A smash.
Smash. Why do people think this? What is the difference?
You know, the way I like to think about it is that imagine you are in an auditorium, you're in a room, and there's a stage up front. If everybody is just staring at you, looking up at you on stage, that's an audience. If you want them to be a community, they need to be facing each other. Maybe it's a bunch of cocktail tables set up and you have all these little groups. Maybe it's a big circle and everyone's just facing each other, but that's really the core of it. Are they there and just listening to you and paying attention to you, or are they connecting and talking with each other? That's the main difference in my mind between audience
and
community.
Where are they facing?
Where are they facing?
That's crazy, man. So why do we conflate the two together? Why do so many people get confused? I'm sure you're at some event or conference or something, and people are like, oh yeah, my community. And
hey, you know,
that I blast emails to every week.
I don't know when it started, but I feel like it ends up being used for both just because that's what we see other people doing. So I see on, especially with some larger brands, they'll have a landing page and they'll say, join our community, sign up for our newsletter. And what are they doing with that? They're sending you discounts and coupons and promo mailers and whatever else. All you've done is join a mailing list. You're not talking to anybody else. You're just getting flyers sent to your inbox. Same thing if they're like, oh, join our community. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok. Again, they're not connecting with anybody else. They're just following you. And the idea that a community manager or a community is that it's this audience, this list of people, this following, it's just stuck for the past 10 plus years, the idea that your audience is your community. And it's not. They're two different things. And the way you manage and interact with these two different groups is going to be different.
I can see how the problems just continue to grow. If you get the core concept wrong here, now you're hiring someone, you're hiring a community manager, but really you're actually just hiring a social manager.
Yeah.
And and it's different. But I guess, you know, sometimes in the social side, you're right. You're interacting with them. They're not talking to each other. Exactly. They're not facing each other.
Yeah. Another way to think about it too is like, if you're a social media manager, you're managing this relationship between you and, if it's for a brand, it's the brand and the followers of that brand. And you have that interaction. If it's in public, others are watching as well, but it is that back and forth. With community managers, while we do have that interaction sometimes, what we're really responsible for is the facilitation. So we are creating the spaces and the moments, the activities, the opportunities to bring, let's say, members in an audience together, to connect them with each other. I think that's the big distinction in what is it that you're doing. A social media manager looking after that one-on-one, community manager, it's the facilitation. How are we connecting these people to each other?
Do you need them both?
It depends. I hate trotting that answer out so early in this conversation, but it really does depend. I think for B2C brands, you're probably going to want a social media manager before you're thinking about community. But I think there is an opportunity for both on the B2C side and on the B2B side.
Got it.
Depends on what your goals are and what you're trying to do, et cetera.
Okay. Sick. When I think about getting them to turn and face each other and facilitating that, how do I do this the right way? You know, let's say myself included, and everyone listening, they've been doing the at you, and now they realize they want to get them to face each other. Where do you start?
So I think this is a really good opportunity for the social media management side to kind of parlay into the community side, because when you are first getting to know community members, that's what it's all about. It is having that one-on-one interaction so you can learn about these members as they're coming in and joining the community, so you can create these moments that make sense for them. So if you have someone joining the community, you're learning who they are, what their background is, what they're interested in, what problems they're having, what they need help with. And then based on that, you'll know, well, we have these resources and these people available in our community that would be a good match. You're looking for this, we have this. And I think that's where being able to have those conversations and do that one-on-one is really, really valuable.
Yeah.
But then you're taking that and saying, okay, well, what's next? We've had this great conversation. We've learned about each other. Now I want you to meet so-and-so, or check out this event series that we have going on, or maybe there's this course that we have. That's the next step that gets you into community.
Is there like a, this is probably a terrible question, but I'm down that path. Is there like a go-to move you have when it comes to, because obviously there's a lot of things you could do to get people facing each other. Do you have like a go-to experience you create?
I am a big believer in content drives people into a community. This is another area where it's like intersecting with social media management, but content draws people in because when they are first coming into a community, it's fairly transactional. They're looking for something and there's some need, want that needs to be fulfilled. And if the community can offer that, that's the starting point. And then my go-to move is usually following up with those folks when they first come in and finding out what is it that's drawing them in? What is the thing that they're looking for? And then knowing these are the other members who are either trying to accomplish the same thing, or they may have the answers that this new member needs. And so I pretty quickly jump into a matchmaking mode of what is it that you need help with and what do we have at our disposal in the community that could help you?
Wow. Community management is really just, it's like matchmaking. It's like B2B matchmaking.
It really is in so many ways.
It's like, what's the problem? And then, you know, who, not how, like who or what do we have in this community? We have a template, we have John over here or someone that can help you with that.
And it's the same way that if you have a friend of yours in your network, who's like, hey, I'm trying to find advice about this topic. Do you know anyone? And you start going through your, like, just thinking like, okay, who do I know that has some expertise in this or has done this before? It's that, but a bit more structured and a tie in to business objectives through it. Right. But it's the same idea. It's the same energy driving both.
Okay. Do you see a difference between like virtual and in-person community creation? Is one more powerful? Do they play into each other? Like how does that all?
They complement each other. I think okay. nothing comes close to the experience that you have in person. Being able to see someone face to face, be in that same physical environment. We lose a lot of that when you go into something that is completely virtual. But those in-person experiences are hard to pull off. They're expensive. So the way I like to approach it is you're going to have at least one of those moments in a year. Ideally, you're going to have it like every few months, but you're going to have these moments where people come together in person for a shared experience. But then you complement that with the things that are happening virtually. And it's those moments that are kind of like the lead up to the grand event of being in person. And then even if they can't join those in-person interactions, if you're able to capture that and get, call them artifacts, like artifacts of that experience, photos, recordings, takeaways, all of it feeds into that. I want to be there. I want to connect with these other people before, during, and after. And that's the flywheel that keeps community going. It's those interactions between members.
You're right, man. Nothing beats that in-person thing. Though it does remind me, the first thing that came to my mind was like that networking event where the organizers crank the music up so loud you actually can't hear each other.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, geez. Yeah. Yeah.
How's it going?
It's funny because like I've done community stuff for so long and I put on these events, but I am terrible at networking. I hate those networking functions because it feels so impersonal and it is so transactional at that point where you know people are just working the room, and I am no good at working the room. My favorite type of networking is let's get a small group together, let's meet up, let's have a meal, let's chat. There's something about that, the intimacy of that, that feels much more real than being in a loud room with hundreds or thousands of others, and you're just kind of floating around trying to find people to talk to. Just feels like, I don't know, it feels impersonal, and it feels like an assignment. I have to go and I have to network. I have to go and trade information.
It's terrible.
Nice. No.
I remember doing a networking event a long time ago. It was like at the Microsoft building in Boston, and there's some really cool people there. And I was, you know, this is early Casey, and I met some great people. And then there was this guy that walked up to our small group and he was like, "Hi, I'm whatever. Here's my card. Here's my card. Here's my card. Here's my card. Okay, bye." You know, and it's like, what?
What was that?
What just happened?
Yeah. I've had my fair share of those. And it's awkward for everybody involved.
So like, don't do that.
Exactly.
Don't be that guy. You know, I found disengaging was just like, I don't need to meet 30 people. If I even just hang out with one person, and maybe we shut the place down, then that just becomes like we met that night and we shut the place down and I didn't meet anyone else, but man, we like, it's almost like going deeper than wider.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Well, this little thing, it's a little hack for local networking. And it was the only thing that ever really worked for me. And I really enjoyed it was that there was this group I belonged to, you know, it was 12 years ago at this time, but it was for B2B marketing professionals. And it was all about inbound marketing, and folks would come out to this event that happened every month. And there'd be a presentation or a panel or something. So there was some content that you were coming out for, but then there was a group of people that would hang around after the event, and then they would go to like a local pub or a bar or something, get dinner, get drinks. And it was that group that to this day, over a decade later, they're still in touch and they're still, you know, trading business back and forth, helping each other with problems, bringing new people into the community. And it started because they hung out after a business meetup after work. And it went from being, we're coming out for this event, to we're coming out to meet, see each other and hang out, to we don't even need this event anymore. Now we're a group, we're a community, and they outlasted the event series big time. So I always think of that as a high watermark.
Yeah. And this was actually ties into my question I was going to ask you is how, as an organizer, do you facilitate getting off of that first transactional step? Like the first step, they came, you had to fulfill something like you were saying. Mm-hmm. Now it's not, does it continue to be transactional, or does it turn into this other thing where it's like, now you're coming for something else?
I'm still playing by that old playbook. We'll still do the event of like, come out for the transactional bit. You can come out for the presentation or the panel. I think those are great for, you know, capturing insights and getting some content and elevating voices from the community. And it's a great way to get stuff out there to let other people discover the community. But then the real magic and the relationship building happens afterwards. And so I'm still doing the same thing of like, hey, if we're going to, there's some conference happening or some event that we're putting on, we're still going to have a social function afterwards. And that's where the real deep conversations are going to happen. Yeah, still my go-to.
So really it's that both, right? So yes. You're still making sure there's some maybe business justifiable reason for going, but then there's that undescribable, untrackable magic that needs to happen afterward.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's how you're going to find new people too, right? Like if you want to bring new people into the community, that first touch is going to, that's going to be the transactional part of it. They're looking for something. And if your community can address it through content or something, some activity, some resources, that's why they'll come in the first place. But the retention, them coming back, them staying engaged, them increasing their engagement within the community, that's going to come through what happens next. What are you doing with them at a social level to the point that maybe they're going to start helping organize or they'll become bigger contributors? But yeah, it starts with that first transaction.
How do you get that social magic virtually? Because I've tried those things and it just doesn't really have the same magic as breaking bread together.
Yeah, it never will have the same magic as breaking bread together. I think that's one of the reasons that I think, you know, having the in-person every few months is so important if you can, but at least once a year. Because everything else is just like a reminder of what that moment was and what that experience was like. But on the virtual side, it depends on the group. And, you know, I've seen things work for some communities that just, it doesn't work for others. And so depending on who your members are, a lot of it is just experimentation. You know, right now we have a new group going locally, very small, informal group for no-coders in Toronto. We're 3 months in, we have a few hundred members. We're experimenting with formats to see what's going to work for this group. Are we bringing out the people that we want to bring out? Is it resonating with them? And it's going to take some time. Yeah, that's the thing with community is that it's not a performance marketing campaign. it's a long-term play. It's a marathon. It's a way of doing things. And so it's going to take some time. But within that, you know, experiment. See what works. Try different things. It'll depend on your group and on your members.
That is like a key point that I want to make sure I don't personally forget is that I heard you say like, what's going to work for this group, meaning not every group is going to have the same transactional type of engagement and not everyone is going to social the same way. Some people are playing board games. Some people are doing shots.
Exactly. You know, so like
different roles, different industries, different
everything.
Demographics, everything, right?
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, it's a bit nerdy, but like I always joke that like community is like Soylent Green. It's made of people. It's not about brands or companies. It's about the other individuals in the group. And so, you know, who are they? What's drawing them in? What are the things that they're interested in? One of my favorite things is when a business group is suddenly doing things that has nothing to do with business.
Yeah,
that's a ton of fun because now you're getting to actually connect and learn about and build relationships with these other people around something that has nothing to do with business, but business does benefit because you have that stronger personal relationship with your peers.
Does anything kill it? have you seen like somebody comes into a great community and then some organizer just...
in terms of members or in terms of organizers who...
organizers. Like, are there any like go-to don't do this?
Yeah, I've seen some folks try to get things off the ground and they go way too hard into the transactional side to the point where it feels completely impersonal. I will never name names, but there was...
Does it rhyme with arc?
I will never name names. But there was a recent event that I attended where they were positioning it as this coming together of a community for a particular industry. But then you get there and it feels like a timeshare presentation plucked out of the 90s. Don't do that. that is not what people are coming for. That is not the experience that you're going out and promoting. So not only on the bait and switch side, but just the feeling of being compressed in this room where you're just being pitched to relentlessly.
Nobody say for those for those who weren't around for the 90s.
And I mean, I was born in the 80s. I'm 35. So for me, just I'm living vicariously in the 90s through stories that I've been told and things that I've seen. But
I was there.
Yeah, my colleague who attended with me, he was there too. He has a background in sales, and he's like, this felt like a time warp. So don't do that.
It was just all pitch.
Pretty much. It's the
social
file into the room, set it up auditorium style. Everyone's facing the stage. They come out and they just start pitching and talking about their product and talking about how great they are. Then they bring out their keynote speaker who starts talking about how great the company is. And it feels gross.
Yeah.
Don't do that. or if you are, don't position it saying like, oh, this is a community thing where we're bringing together people from the community. It's not. It's not. It's a different thing.
Really, it's not like, you know, do what you said you were going to do. And don't, I guess the risk is, man, people can leave feeling really gypped and tricked. It's gross to pitch anyways like that, but to lure people in saying community,
you know,
just like you're saying the landing page, but really it's just signing up for newsletter. So yeah. You choose your words carefully and don't steal from the community, you know, vocabulary.
Yeah. Please.
Wow. Fun. I sat through a Hilton vacation timeshare, but they said, you know, we'll give you $150 in like Hilton bucks. I was like, all right.
Well, at least like, for something like that.
Can I bring a drink with me? Sure. Okay.
Well, I mean, I've been to the family resorts where they pitch you on the timeshare as soon as you walk in, you know. But I don't mind it as much because it's transparent. Like, I know what this is. I don't feel like I'm being duped into participating in something different. And that seems to be the thing with community is that it's been adopted as a term, as this kind of shorthand term that gets attention and feels good, but then it's being used for other things that aren't community.
Yeah. You know, there's a thing in the podcast world called pod fading, where people start a podcast and then 11 episodes later, they're like, yeah, that was cool. It was too hard. Or it was, I don't know. Like just, it was, they weren't thinking big picture. Or they weren't in love with the subject or there's many, many reasons. Do you see that with communities?
Yes. And I get it. Because it's tough, especially when you're just getting started and you're trying to put these events together and it feels like no one's interested. Something's not resonating. And the temptation is really high to just give up because it's not doing the numbers are going the way that you thought it would go.
Yeah.
But you gotta kind of trust the process. Like you gotta just keep at it. If you're serious about it, like you really want to make it work like a podcast, you're going to have to get through the first few reps, find your groove. I always think of the, I'm going to butcher this, but that anecdote, like Mr. T on Conan O'Brien's late night show.
Sure.
Where Conan had him come back on years and years after the show had started. And he's like, hey, you actually were on one of my earlier episodes. But and Mr. T responds, yeah, but you've only been funny since like season 3. So this idea that like even the most popular and well-known celebrities and television hosts and everything else that are out there, everyone's rough in the beginning. You're just figuring it out. And that's fine. That's part of the process. Same way, like when you're writing something, your first draft is not going to be good, but you need to get the first draft out in order to progress. So the same thing goes for community, for doing events. You just gotta do it.
So it sounds like as long as you're minding the transaction and in like a pure social interaction and no pitching, if it's ugly, if it's not open bar, top shelf, if it's like it's just a few people, it's okay. Just keep going.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be perfect day one.
Exactly. And if you look at some massive communities, they look at Salesforce, Salesforce, Dreamforce, they're the pinnacle of community building in a business-to-business context. But if you go back to how they started, it was rough. It was informal. They were doing user groups and get-togethers, yeah. and they were casual and they were small. That's where it begins. It starts yeah. that way. And I think there's this pressure or this fear that, oh, if we're going to go and start doing community stuff, it needs to be a knockout success and be big and polished from the beginning. Start small. Embrace those small groups in the beginning, because you're going to miss those moments as the group gets bigger, as the community yeah. grows. So appreciate it for what it is at that time, because once it's gone, you're going to miss it.
That's super encouraging, man. I can see myself and other people listening going, okay, cool. The burden is lower. I don't, it's just about helping people out with their challenges and connecting them yeah, with each other. Not alone.
Don't know? Psych it's yourself like, out. It's very easy to psych science. Yourself out. Yeah.
yeah.
It's not rocket yeah. science.
Even rocket scientists need a community. You mentioned earlier the idea of organizing, mm-hmm. and I've seen this a little bit in some communities I've been in, the idea of people stepping up to volunteer, to be, you know, the promotions chair or to help plan the next event. Mm-hmm. Or talk to me about how you activate members of a community to really take on leadership roles.
One of the mistakes I've made in the past is trying to push people in that direction who don't want to do that. And what I've learned is that it's really more about identifying the individuals who have that drive already and giving them the opportunity. So if you have a new community that you're getting going and you're doing events, or even if it's purely online, you're going to have some of those early adopters who are very keen. Mm-hmm. Some folks who are very keen in the beginning will fade and drop off. So don't go all in on them at the beginning, but give them the opportunities. Give them, you know, if there's an event coming up, let them help. Bring them in to assist with certain things, and then just over time, give them more and more power, basically, and freedom to set things up and do things. And you just keep repeating that, like, as more people show up who show an interest in contributing and helping out, giving them those opportunities to do it and build up from there. Yeah, trying to go the other way of like incentivizing it or pushing people to do it usually has unintended consequences, or people are motivated for the wrong reasons. So it's more about knowing your members and knowing who might be a good fit. Yeah, and creating those opportunities.
So you like create the position and then just let people know it's available, or like you don't want to push too hard? How do you do that?
So one of the things that we're doing with this group I mentioned locally for No Code, we have a general idea and we're starting to list things out of like, these are the things that we need help with. These are all the responsibilities, tasks that need to be dealt with. And so when someone says, hey, I'd love to help out, we have this list of things that we need help with. And so it can be as minor as like, hey, we need to find a venue for this next yeah. meetup, or we need to find presenters to talk about this topic, and letting them kind of pick and choose like, hey, I can help with this or this. And they'll find their comfort level too, and the thing mm-hmm. that they're interested in. And you just keep that going. What tasks do you need to knock out? And are there community members who have the drive and willingness to take those tasks on, give them those opportunities?
And it's a transaction. I mean, they're doing it for a reason, yep. either to help people because they enjoy that, or to help their career out. And there's a million reasons to volunteer in a community. So being mindful of like serving them, you know, how can we serve our leaders and make sure they're getting what they're
exactly,
asking for.
Exactly. Like, yeah. When I got started in all of this back in, God, in 2007-ish.
Back in the 80s.
Back in the 80s. For me, it was like being in college, and when I graduated in 2009, you know, major recession, things aren't great. How do you build a network and find opportunities when you're a college grad? Doing community stuff was my way of doing it. Like, I wanted yeah. to build my network, and this was the way I was most comfortable going about it, because I didn't like working the room. I didn't like doing those things. But if yeah. I could bring people together around a topic that I was interested in. And I just kept that going. And here I am, however many years later, still doing the same general thing, just on a different scale for different reasons.
You know what's funny? As you mentioned that, you're like, I don't like doing... I don't think most people do. I think it's the... Sorry if the only people listening to this show are these people, but hey, welcome. But I think it's the... There's a certain kind of person that loves it. Everyone else is kind of like standing around going, man, this is awkward.
Yep.
So it sounds like, yep, you just... Hey, it's awkward, isn't it? Hey, let's come all be awkward together. You know,
that's such a great way to put it. Like, if I'm in a room like that, but what I like doing is that if there's a table, I will claim a table, and then I will invite other people to join my table. So, sitting or standing, and just kind of creating that base, and I will just roost there. I'm not going to move. This is my table. We're going to stay here. But then you start getting this kind of like gaggle of people that come around. And that's where you really start having the fun conversations, because now we're not working in the room. It's we've got this group going. And other people see that group, people come by, they want to see what's going on. They want to be part of that group. It feels much nicer.
And everyone has that awkward moment where they're walking up, they see a bunch of round tables. You're like, man, where do I sit? Mm-hmm. I don't know any of these people. Mm-hmm. They probably all know each other, which is not true. But in your mind, you're like, they probably all know each other. And to have someone, hey, come join us over here, man. That would just be so welcoming and like a weight lifted.
It,
you know?
It really is. It's like a bystander effect when you walk into a room. So I was at a trade show last year, and they had the big networking lunch setup of just claim a table, and then other people will come and sit down. And if you're late to that lunch and you see a bunch of full tables, it feels really uncomfortable, because it's like, look at all these groups that already exist. You don't want to be just bombing in.
Yeah.
But someone that I did not know just saw me walk in and waved me over, just flagged me and waved me over to join them at their table. They had a spot. And I thought that was such a wonderful, small gesture. It's just stuck in my head now. And it's something that I want to do for others. So anytime I'm in that situation, I'm at a table, I see someone wandering around, I'm going to wave them over and welcome them to join our table. And I think that's what community really is about at the end of the day. If you're leading a community, you have this group and you want to bring other people in so they can join the conversation and be part of it. Join you at your table.
Dude, that's epic. That you're just like walking Mr. Soundbite for community. This is awesome. There's just like wisdom left and right.
I get so excited about this stuff.
Yeah, I can tell, man. I can tell. But also the way that you felt welcome there too, and just the idea of, you know, if even just everyone listening to this podcast just decided to, and look, like, I get it. We all actually feel that way. None of us are actually comfortable for the most. We got a few party monsters that are just totally comfortable, and sometimes I'm that. But hey, we're all kind of feeling a little awkward. Just be the one that invites another awkward person to join.
Exactly.
Like, that's so cool.
Exactly.
So cool. Man, who are you? Andy, you're the king of community. How do you know these? Can you take me back in time, like little Andy days? Did you know you're going to be just gathering groups of people together?
Absolutely
and doing
not.
All these cool things?
Absolutely not.
No.
My entry into all of this, it did start as a hobby. You know, teenager, I was working on gaming fan sites and forums. It's funny, within the community profession, there are a lot of folks who got into it because they were like me. They were doing this as a hobby, and then they just kept going with it. So I am still a big old nerd. And for me, online communities, message boards, forums, were a way for me to find like-minded people who were, you know, half a world away.
Was this like on the web or like AOL or?
Yeah, it was on the web. In the 90s, pretty much soon after we got online, got connected to the internet at home, it's finding message boards and finding other people interested in the same things that I'm interested in. The pre-Reddit days. that was it. And from there, I started learning about how to build stuff on the web. That led into learning web development, which led into, you mentioned in the intro, like my background in product and tech and all that. all of it stemmed from doing online community stuff. That was my gateway into everything.
Man. Then you head off to school, you're like, let me do some advertising. That sounds fun.
Yeah, exactly. I went into, like, in high school, I was part of an arts program because I wanted to be a cartoonist, of all things. yeah, Charles Schulz, you can't see it behind me, but I got this, like, collection of Peanuts stuff. But advertising was it felt like a nice way to kind of combine creative work with the web and tech stuff that I was already doing.
Yeah.
And so I went to school for that. But as I mentioned, timing was pretty bad. Graduated in 2009. No one hiring in the ad industry. So I fell back on those web skills and started a career in tech.
Man. And then fast forward many moons later, you're running community, you're just building things and ecosystem too. How do you balance that community and ecosystem at Glide?
It's funny because when I came into this role, they said they were hiring an ecosystem marketer, and it was, but the actual description of the role was closer to like field marketing. So it was similar to the stuff I was doing at GoDaddy, which where I was at for quite a while before I joined Glide. But then I started learning about ecosystem and partnerships and that whole realm that I had been adjacent to but never worked directly in. So now I have a very different path into ecosystem than a lot of the other folks that I've met in the world of partnerships, because I'm coming into it from a community manager, open source software background. And I'm talking to folks who are coming in from sales and biz dev, and it's a different way of looking at things.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm approaching ecosystem and partnerships and strategic alliances and all that sort of stuff with this community first mindset. So I'm just kind of flying community to everything. And that's the way we're approaching it at Glide. How can we work with others to help our mutual communities do great things? That's pretty much my philosophy in a nutshell.
As you were saying that, I was thinking it certainly can't hurt. It's got to be the right direction to take things, and I could see some people being like, what? We get to actually face each other. We're not just looking at you broadcasting information to us as a partner or, you know, an affiliate or reseller. Like, face each other. You know? It's the same kind of thing you're talking about with Salesforce. It's like,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's not about us. It's about you guys.
Like, when I think of it as like, all right, we have a product at Glide that does some amazing things for like building apps without code. But where we really unlock value is when we start connecting to other tools and platforms, whether it be data sources or other integrations. So if I were to look at our community and then the community of those partners, bring all those people together and connect them all in a room, what things can we do for that crowd, that audience? Yes. In terms of content and education and resources, but at the same time, what magic can we make happen by connecting these individuals to each other? Because I bet there's a lot of great value that could come out of connecting folks in those communities with folks in our community. And that's what drives me when it comes to ecosystem and how it fits within the community context.
Well, shout out to whoever thought that was a good idea to combine community and ecosystem. I'm sure I can see why you're busy now. I can see why you're busy, but what a cool move to combine those two, because organically it just, that feels like such the right play.
And it's so much fun. And one of the reasons I love it so much is that I am terrible at sales because I don't like going in for the close and asking for things that way. But what I love doing is getting together with others and saying, what can we do together for our members? And those conversations can lead to so many good things. I love having those conversations.
Beautiful, man. I've got a bit of a hypothetical question for you next, okay. if you're down. You see, I may or may not have a time machine here in New Hampshire. So let's say hop in the car the next time you're in Boston doing a community event, come on by. We'll use the time. It's in the backyard covered in a tarp. So you come on by, we use this time machine, but it's a particular kind of machine because you get to go back and visit yourself 4 days after finishing university with that advertising degree. And you get to visit that Andy, right? You get to chat with yourself and you get to visit that. And hey, what kind of advice would you give yourself?
I would my first thing would be reassurance. What you're doing with community, bringing people together, doing these meetups, connecting with people, this is not a waste of time. And if anything, I would tell my past self to double down, go more, lean into it more, do more events, bring more people together, connect with more people, connect more people to each other, because that's really the way forward. And I think younger me was thrown off by others saying community doesn't work. There's no future in community. Community in a business context doesn't make sense. Because where we are now, you know, over a decade later, proved them entirely wrong.
Man, that is some powerful stuff. Powerful stuff, my friend. Where can people reach out to you if they want to connect?
So the best place to reach me is on LinkedIn. You can find me there, Andy MCI. I also just got my personal site back online after too long.
Oh, cool.
AndyMCI.com. You can find me there as well.
Awesome. We'll link to those in the show notes for those listening. Just clickety-click on over to that. Cool, man. Well, Andy, thank you so much for coming on here, schooling me up in the difference. And I will never consider my audience my community. But man, I am so inspired to facilitate a growing community. I just can't wait.
Love hearing that. And thank you for having me. I'm glad we were able to do this.
Hell yeah. For those listening, my audience, soon to be community, we'll figure this thing out. Stay tuned. If you like this, man, if you learn something from this, and I freaking know you learned something because I literally have 2 pages of notes front and back over here.
Oh, that's awesome.
Then share this with one other person. That's it. Share it with someone and let them know what your takeaway was. Not just the episode, like, hey, check this out, man. Audience is not community. And tag Andy, tag myself. We'll hop in, have a little LinkedIn convo party.
Absolutely.
And have a good time with it. But yeah, good stuff. Andy, thank you again so much for being on here.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. This has been a crazy cool community episode of the Hardcore Marketing Show. We will see you all next time.